Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Jesus calls us an ecclesia. We are called out ones of the citizens of heaven, but we're called out in this world and we're gathered together with authority to do the work that God's called us to do. And we see there's different places in the Bible that points to that authority.
What is the church? Is it an assembly? Is it a building? Today on Practical Christian Living, we see where church very first began. And we see that church is all about people with a purpose given power from and for Jesus. With the foundations of the early church where it all started, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47.
Father, thank you for your word. It is rich, it is deep, it is meaningful, it is powerful, it is profound, it is life-changing. It washes us, it gets inside of us, it does a work inside of us. We thank you that we can approach your word now and learn from it. And we pray that you would bless this passage to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This is our line-by-line, verse-by-verse, in-depth Bible study of the book of Acts. There are four priorities that we're going to find here in this passage. And after they do these four priorities, at the end of our text, we're told this about the early church. This is Acts 2, the middle of verse 46 through 47. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's the summary of how God is using the early church. And you can't get any earlier than this. This is what's told to us about the church right after the 3,000 are added. And we want that said about us. We want to eat our food with gladness and simplicity. We want to praise God. We do it here, but we want to praise God in all aspects of our lives. We want to have favor with all people, and we want God adding to the church daily those who are being saved. Doing these things that were a priority in the early church can help us to be able to have that happen in our church as well, that these things can be happening within our heart. Now, I know you know what the church is. But let's just take a moment to make sure we're all on the same page. When the Bible gives us a description of the church, it never gives us a description of a building. It never says that the church is a house or the church is a building where they met. They met in large venues like the temple or like the school of Tyrannus in Ephesus, and they met house to house. There was a broad spectrum of what the church did. A building doesn't make the church. A church is a person who is following Jesus, doing it together with other people, collectively with other people. That's what a church is. A church is, in unity, serving God and allowing our gifts to minister to one another. And we want to have that. And the Bible says, and I'm preaching to the choir here, right? But the Bible says, don't neglect the assembly of yourself together. But that's not what a church is. A church isn't an assembly of Christians. In general, it is, but that's not what defines a church. Jesus is the one who started the word church. It's the Greek word ekklesia. I've heard people say, well, the church is like the synagogue in the Old Testament. No, it's not. An ekklesia was a town council. In the Greek culture, each town had their own ekklesia. They were called out from the city, and they were put together with authority, and they were the ekklesia. They made decisions. They had ability. They had so much authority, they could declare war for the city. This Athens had its own ecclesia. They had the authority to declare war. That's how much authority they have. So Jesus calls us an ecclesia. We are called out ones of the citizens of heaven, but we're called out in this world, and we're gathered together with authority to do the work that God's called us to do. And we see there's different places in the Bible that points to that authority. Now, Jesus said, on this rock, meaning himself, I will build my church. So Jesus built his church, his ecclesia, on himself. And that's why, listen, you can be critical of the church. Why can we criticize the church? Because church is made up of people and we're flawed. There's none of us who aren't, right? And some are more flawed than others, and someone says, yeah, Robert, you're more flawed than anybody. Amen. All right? We understand that. However, Jesus built it. He established it. It was his idea, and the church is going to be a good thing. Jesus said, on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We will be effective. And then he said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. We know how to let people in. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, the Bible says. I have a joke when someone says to me as a pastor, they know I'm a pastor, and it's a windy day or rainy day or something, and they say to me, hey, pastor, can you pray to stop the wind? Or can you pray to stop the rain? I always tell them, I don't pray for trivial things like the wind and rain. And then I throw in my little thing for them, but I'll pray for you. And I even have the keys to the kingdom. I can let you in. Now, sometimes that leads to, what do you mean you have the keys to the kingdom? And I could share the gospel. Most of the time they will go, walk away from me. They're like, I don't want any more of that. Whatever that is, keys to the kingdom stuff that you can let me in, I don't want any more of it. But it is true, we have the keys to the kingdom. That's what the church is. We've been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the highest call that we can have, and we're doing it together. So what were the four things that this early church did? Well, we see it in verse 42, all four of them in verse 42. It says, they continued steadfastly. That means they made this a priority. They didn't stop doing it. They did these four things steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayer. Those are the four things that they did. Let's take them one at a time. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles were a bridge between the ministry, miracles, and teaching of Jesus and the rest of the church. They were a bridge to the next generation, for sure, because they could tell them, and they did. They even had the gift of the Holy Spirit to help remind them of the things that Jesus said. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to remind you of the things that I told you. So they had supernatural help in taking what Jesus had said and giving it to the next generation. But not only the next generation. The apostles were in charge of the writing of the New Testament. God used them to keep the information to give us the New Testament. So when it says apostles' doctrines, the apostles' doctrines is the New Testament. And even books that aren't written by the apostles, like Jude and James and Mark and Luke, those guys weren't apostles, but they got their information from apostles. James was a half-brother of Jesus. Jude was a half-brother of Jesus. John Mark got his information from Peter, and Luke got his information from Paul, and also made a trip to Jerusalem and interacted with other apostles. So they were the bridge, and they had a special authority. There was authority that the apostles have that's not around today. There's a new movement. I just want to get this out of the way for this teaching. But there is a new movement where they believe that apostles have the same authority that the apostles did in the biblical days. And we reject that soundly. When the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven, there's 12 foundations with the 12 names of the apostles on it. And none of these guys that are calling themselves apostles today are going to be on that foundation. These guys had a special calling, anointing, and office. The word apostle means sent out one. I was sent out 38 years ago from Albuquerque to see if God wanted to start a church in Tucson so I could call myself Apostle Robert Furrow. Please don't, by the way. Don't even tease me with it, all right? Because I'm sent out, but it would be with a small A. I don't hold the office of an apostle. I don't hold the special power that they had, because they had power to do miracles. Jesus did miracles, and then the apostles did miracles, and we do miracles today, but not at the rate. They did it at a much higher rate. Jesus was a higher rate than the apostles. The apostles had a high rate, but not as high as Jesus, and we have miracles today. And if you don't believe that, there's a book by Dr. Craig Keener called Miracles Today. It's an easy read, and it documents miracles. It interviews doctors and the people who were healed and friends and family. It actually documents miracles today, which is pretty amazing. He's got a more heady two-volume work on miracles, if you're into that. If you're more of the, you know, reading kind, you can read his two-volume, and that's phenomenal. Not that I've read all of it, by the way, but I have read Miracles Today, and I can tell you what it did to me. It encouraged me. It lifted me up that God's still doing miracles. Here's this girl who cries out to God from her bed, and the doctors have written her off that she's dying, and God gives her life. They walk in the room, and she's up and walking completely normal when she was bedridden before that, and she called out to God. You got all this documentation. Miracles do happen today, but not at the level that they happen with the apostles. Now, the apostles' doctrine then is the Word of God. Now, we could be studying the Bible and not be studying the apostles' doctrine if we're studying Genesis or Joshua or Psalms. But anytime we get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, any of the New Testament, that's the apostles' doctrine. We have the apostles' doctrine today in the book of Luke. So Jesus said, speaking of us, the church, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That means God's word is necessary for us to really be who God wants us to be. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Desire the pure milk of the word. We live in a time that is unlike any other time where we can study the word of God. When I first started as a pastor, I had a book fund that I got each month, $125. Doesn't sound like a lot, but in the 80s, it was a lot. And I could buy a lot of books. And I bought books for research. And I still have some of them over in my office here today. I had them in my office at home. I had them here. I had commentaries. I had different books that I would get. And I had my own library system. I had written in front of it pages that had things on I wanted to use for sermons. I highlighted certain things. I had to do research that way. Today, you can literally research any topic you want to. You can go onto YouTube. You can search the internet for it. Let me just give you a little bit of a disclaimer. Like, you just decide that you know what? I want to become an expert on the deity of Jesus. So I'm going to take the next month, and I'm going to read and watch everything I can watch on the deity of Christ. And you can do that. And you could become an expert on the deity of Jesus. May take a little more than a month, but you can do it. That's the day we live in. However, when you're watching a YouTube channel and they don't tell you who they are and they have some generic name, then you want to be careful. If you're watching a YouTube channel and it says Natasha Crane, you know who she is. It says Calvary Chapel of Ontario, you know who that is. You know whether or not they are sound. But if they have some just generic name like the Morning Star Channel, okay, that's their name. Now, there probably is one out there like that. I'm not talking about them, okay? This is a made-up name. And you watch it on the deity of Jesus, but you don't know who they are. And you read the description, and it just says, Morning Star Channel here on YouTube is dedicated to the truth of the Word of God. But you don't know who they are. You know what? A little trick I found is that if you go to Google and you say, who runs the webpage who runs the YouTube page Morning Star Ministries, and it will tell you. And a lot of times it is the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is the Church of Christ. It's someone, for whatever reason, they don't want to tell you who they are. And listen, if somebody doesn't want to tell me and they're hiding who they are, I'm not interested in what they've got to say. They might be good, but they might not be, because if they're not willing to tell me who they are, who they really are, it's like drinking water from a river. You might be okay, but you might not be. And it's not worth it. But there are enough good, solid ministries that are out there, channels that you can watch, articles that you can read, where you can look at it and go, this is reputable. This is not aberrant to the church. There are aberrant teachings, which means there are things that the historical church doesn't hold to. And when you get into those areas, you want to stay away from them. But you can study the more of the scriptures now than ever before. It's an incredible day. I'm looking at you young people. You could spend your life now learning God's word in a great way because of all the ability that we have to be able to study God's word. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this about the scriptures. All scripture has been given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, that's teachings, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That means everything that God has for me to do, the scriptures thoroughly equip me for it. It doesn't mean that somebody else might not have something that's helpful, but it means I don't need it. I'm thoroughly equipped through the Word of God. And it's one of the reasons that I try to stick to the Word of God. I'm not giving you my personal philosophies. Very rarely do I ever say, this is my opinion. You say, well, I've heard you say that before. Yes, because when it's my opinion, I want you to know this is my opinion. But I'm not putting together the philosophies of Robert Furrow. I'm putting together what the scriptures say to the best of my ability to be able to communicate that to you. Because that's what you need. You don't need my philosophies. You need the Word of God. It washes you. It cleanses you. Jesus said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church and washed her with the Word. We are washed with the Word of God by Christ. It actually works inside of us and does things in us. It moves inside of us. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When we follow his word, it is a lamp and a light to our feet. Now, there's some criticism today about us following the Bible. They will say that we worship the Bible. I don't know if you ever heard that before. It's a criticism that Calvary Chapel gets particularly. But I'll guarantee you, I have never worshiped the Bible. Have you? Oh, Bible, we praise you. We worship you. How wonderful you are. We've never done that. We worship God, but this is his letters to us, that we would live what he said. If you're a teenager and you go home and your mom leaves you a note, stay home, don't go out. You're not going to go, if I listen to my mom, I'm worshiping my mom's note. I'm loving the note like I love my mom. No. But we know that that note is an extension of her authority. And listen, as a teenager, is that note authoritative? If your mom comes home and finds you gone, are you in trouble? You bet you are, because that note was written by her and was an extension. And so God has given us his word, and we listen to what it says. It's his authority to us. That's why we believe it and follow it, and we worship God. He's the one we lift up and are so thankful that he left us notes that we can know how he wants us to live, what pleases him and what doesn't please him. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The second thing they did was in fellowship. Now, this word for fellowship here is the word koinonia. And it means to have a kindred heart. It means to be knit together in a special way. We in the church are supposed to know one another, interact with one another, bear one another's burdens. Jesus said this, they will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. He didn't say, they will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for God. So you could walk into a church and you could have everybody in the church praising, lifting their hands up, saying, oh God, we love you so much. We really love you. We love you so much. That's not an identification that you're truly a disciple. Yes, that's the highest call, command, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the way they know we're his disciples is by the love that we have for one another. If they come into this place and sense that we care about each other, we acknowledge each other, we interact with one another, we pray for one another, we care about one another, then they're gonna know. A non-Christian walking in does not know what aberrant teachings are to historical Christianity. You do. You could go to a church somewhere. You could walk in and listen to what's said for a little while and go, I think there's some funny business going on in this church. Or you could go, I think this church is pretty solid. Probably wouldn't take you more than just a couple visits to determine because of what you know. But the world doesn't. They don't know what is aberrant and what isn't. And so the way they know is the love that we have for one another. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. Several years ago, it's been a while since I've gone to a non-Calvary event here in town, but we wanted to go see King and Country. King and Country came to town, they went to the TCC, and so me and my wife went to it. So we're walking on to the TCC, and I know they're all Christians here. You know, it's the vast majority of these people coming to see King and Country are Christians. And as I'm walking down the sidewalks and into the TCC arena, I'm looking at people. I'm looking just to kind of acknowledge, because we're all Christians. And we might as well have been in a mall. If you walk through a mall and look people in the eye and acknowledge them, people are going to think you're weird. Right? I mean, just our, the way we live, we don't walk down the mall looking at people in the eye and acknowledging them. However, in the church, it should be different. We should acknowledge one another. And to walk through a crowd of Christians without looking people in the eye and acknowledging them, I think is weird. I think that's weird. I hope it doesn't happen at our church. I hope we acknowledge one another, first of all and foremost, that we acknowledge them. A simple look in the eyes, a smile, a nod. How are you doing? As you do that, you'll see the same people over and over again, and pretty soon you'll stop and shake hands, and pretty soon you'll ask a name, and you'll get to know them, and pretty soon you'll say, can you pray for me? My son's giving me fits. Can you pray for me? Oh, my husband's having a problem with his work. Pretty soon you're going to get to know one another. It's really going to help. Years ago, we had a softball league. We played at Fort Lowell Park with other churches. And I got there early for our game. I was on the team. I got there early for our game and Sun Life Chapel, and they only had 8 people. And they were like, could you play? They didn't know who I was. Could you play? I'm like, sure, I can play on your team. So played first base with them. And we go to the dugout, and one of them says to me, what church do you go to? Because it's a church league. And I go, Calvary Chapel. And they go, oh, Calvary Chapel. And they got truly excited that I was a true believer. They knew at Calvary Chapel people love Jesus and live for him, and so they were truly excited about it. They said, we love Pastor Robert. And then they start going on about it, and I'm like. But I was moved that they genuinely, really just were excited that I was a Christian who was sitting there with them. I didn't go to Sun Life Chapel. That's koinonia. There was a fellowship and a kinship that was there. Now, a little bit later on, one of them said, what's your name? And I said, Robert. And they said, what's your last name? Now, because they said they love Robert Furrow, I said Furrow. Had they said we hate Robert Furrow, I would have said Smith. I would have said, I'm Robert Smith. That's who I am. That was 30 years ago. And I remember it today because it was people I'd never met before that there was a sudden, instant connection because they love Jesus and I love Jesus, and that's koinonia. And that's what we should have happening within the church. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted towards one another, and forgive. I realize some of you guys have been hurt. You were at a different church and someone hurt you. Maybe you were at our church and someone hurt you. And so what you've done is built up walls because you don't want to be hurt anymore. Maybe you got hurt deeply. And so you don't want to acknowledge people. When I say acknowledge people, when I say shake people's hand, get to know their name, you're like, nope, nope, and nope. Because I got hurt and I'm not going to do it. But listen, you got to take a risk in order to have a blessing.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our 2 campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.